Welcome to the California STD HIV Prevention Training Center's series of podcasts. This next group of podcasts is going to be focusing on issues related to prevention with positives. My name is Miriam Garfinkel. I'm a trainer and curriculum writer at the Prevention Training Center, and I'm here today with Tim Vincent, who's the coordinator of the Prevention with Positives program at the PTC. Tim has done a lot of work around prevention with positives, both in California, nationally, as well as internationally. So, Tim, I'd like to begin today by asking you to describe a little bit about what we mean by prevention with positives, because I think that these days it's a term that's used a lot, but that we're not necessarily always on the same page in what we mean by it.
I would say that the term is referring to a collection of strategies that's aimed at reducing the potential transmission of HIV, focusing on people living with HIV. And I think there's a variety of reasons why that's an important thing to do and has been an important thing to focus on. Part of it has to do with the fact that people living with HIV, you know, have to be present for an infection to happen. So that, from a public health standpoint, it's an important thing to focus on working with people living with HIV. Another piece of this is that the success of treatment has created a situation where more and more people are living with HIV and are living well with HIV, especially if they've accessed and they have treatment that's available to them. Another concern that's part of this collection of strategies is really helping people to find out their HIV status, due to the fact that when people do not know their HIV status and have HIV, those people are contributing to infections, new infections of HIV, at a much greater rate than people who have HIV and know their status. So that also brings to mind that people who do know their status and have HIV are not wanting to infect people and have an intent not to do that. And so that's an important thing to recognize. And for the people who are listening to this, most of the providers are working with people who know their status. And so really this is really going to be focusing on what providers can do who are working with clients or patients who are living with HIV to help them look at maybe ways of reducing potential transmission of HIV. And then secondarily, really, it's about, if you're working with people living with HIV, there's the concern around co-infections and things like STDs that might also impact someone's overall health and quality of life. That is also, I think, a piece of prevention with positives. And then really taking it from there, there's also just quality of life issues that I think also impact a person's overall wellness and holistic well-being, that I think also has an impact on the decisions they make that may impact transmission behaviors as well.
So the next question I'd like to ask you, Tim, is to tell us a little bit about why we're talking about prevention with positives so much right now, because it does seem like in the last few years there's been a lot more emphasis, both politically and financially and programmatically, on prevention with people living with HIV, and that's very different than it had been.
Well, I think it's important right now because more and more people are living with HIV and living well, you know, medically with HIV because of the advent of powerful antiviral treatment that has been effective. And that was very different than it was, you know, many, many years ago. So there seems to be, you know, important that we're working with people to support them around their concerns around sexual behaviors and drug using behaviors and maybe having families and children and support that is very effective or could be effective in reducing the potential transmissions of HIV in the United States right now.
Thanks, Tim. That was a helpful clarification or perspective on where we are right now. Can you say a little bit more about what you see as the most important differences between prevention with people living with HIV and the more traditional prevention with people who are HIV negative?
So part of what makes it unique is that you just have a different aim. You're focusing on, as I said, potential behaviors that might impact transmission, which those motivations may be different for people who are living with HIV versus somebody who is concerned about getting or acquiring HIV. But what's also really important is to look at some of the unique
factors that might be impacting a person's life who's living with HIV that might also relate to concerns around prevention. So there are things like the concern of HIV status disclosure, which I think is a unique consideration for people living with HIV. There's also the concern around responding to stigma, HIV-related stigma that might, but usually happens to people who are living with HIV, so I wouldn't even say might. There's also the concern about the impact that treatment and care might have on someone's potential for infections and how people are accessing care. Are they adherent? That kind of thing, which I think is a different thing than if you're working with something negative, obviously. There's also concerns around an adjustment to living with HIV, just a psychosocial adjustment to what it's like to have a disease that, again, may be stigmatized or may be impacting your health overall, mental or physical. And then there's also the concern around risk, that risk might feel different if you're living with HIV around sexual behaviors and other behaviors that might transmit HIV. So people living with HIV may have different ways in which they're comfortable with the levels of risk regarding the sexual behaviors they're having with people who are negative versus people who are positive, just as an example of how that might be different for people. So kind of saying those things, it's important for providers to have an appreciation or a sensitivity maybe to some of these concerns, so that if people are working with their clients around assessing motivation or assessing behaviors, that they have a context that they can have some knowledge about that really would help them in their assessments and in their support around prevention around some of these concerns that I just described.
That that seemed like a very clear framework that you laid out around the issues that are important to be thinking about, and those actually are the very issues that we'll be talking about in the upcoming podcast that we do in this series. So the next question that comes up for me, Tim, in hearing you lay out those specific concerns or issues for clients living with HIV is what you think the specific concerns for providers might be in transitioning into this work of doing prevention work with their clients who are living with HIV.
Well, I think there's a number of challenges I think that providers may experience in doing this work. Part of it has to do with not really having a coordinated kind of system in which prevention is delivered. So people may feel that it's not part of their job to be doing some of these assessments around someone's sexual health or how disclosure might impact what a person ends up doing that might impact risk. So part of it is just really recognizing their role or not having some clarity about that. The other thing, though, I think is really that there's an anxiety that I think happens for some of the providers when they're hearing clients talk about behaviors that really might potentially transmit an infection to another person and or compromise their clients' lives. And so there is some concern about how to do that in a really effective way to be a responsible provider and to also really find out what some of the context that might impact those choices may be, and to do that in a respectful way, I think, is a challenge for many of the providers. And I think it's also difficult because many of the providers are not living the experience. And so I think that it's important in some ways to be sensitive and skilled about what it is like to deal with some of these challenges. But for so many people, they aren't really dealing with these challenges.